Vanderbilt Health.
So I'm talking with Dr. Otis Rickman, Associate Professor of Medicine and Thoracic Surgery and the Director of Interventional Pulmonology here at Vanderbilt. Good afternoon, Dr. Rickman.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for talking with us. I know that you are really the founding director of the program, which began at Vanderbilt back in 2009. Could you say a little bit about the growth of the Interventional Pulmonology program here?
So I joined Vanderbilt in 2009 was recruited down from Mayo Clinic to start the interventional pulmonary program here. Up to that point, we had a typical university-based pulmonology program where we were doing about 500 bronchoscopies or so a year, most of those being inpatients, but we had no advanced diagnostic or therapeutic capabilities at the program. And so there was a big push from the university to be able to provide that service to people in Middle Tennessee, and especially here in the Nashville area. And so I came down, there was a lot of support from the university, a lot of capital outlay, funds, equipment, personnel, that sort of thing, to make this the first interventional pulmonology program in Tennessee. Still to this day, it remains the only true interventional pulmonology program in Middle Tennessee with board-certified interventional pulmonologists. So over the past, seven, 8 years, we have gone from doing about 500 bronchoscopies or interventional procedures a year to over 1,500. So the program has tripled in size in that time period. And we've been able to bring minimally invasive diagnostic and therapeutic procedures that were otherwise unavailable to people here in Tennessee.
From the standpoint of patient care, what have you been able to do in addition to what was already happening here at Vanderbilt as a result of having this expertise?
Interventional pulmonology is a specialty that relies on minimally invasive bronchoscopy procedures and pleural procedures to otherwise take procedures that would have normally been a hospital stay or a high complication rate. And so those things are like navigational bronchoscopy, which is where we have basically a computer takes a radiology scan and from a CT, and sort of melds them both together. It's kind of like GPS for your car, except it's GPS for the lungs. And we can tag where we want to go, and then we drive out, and we're able to do biopsies of those nodules. And so we've been doing that procedure that wasn't being done in Tennessee before, since 2009. We also started doing a procedure called endobronchial ultrasound, where we have a small flexible scope with an bronchoscope. So that's a fancy name for a scope that will go down through the mouth, past the voice box, and down into the lungs. And then we can use the ultrasound. It sort of gives us x-ray vision. We can see through the wall of the bronchial tubes and identify lymph nodes and put a needle into those and do staging that previously would require a big cut right above the breastbone, stay in the hospital, and then we're able to do that as a outpatient. And those two have been sort of the most used of our advanced diagnostic bronchoscopy procedures. And then a couple of years ago, we added Dr. Fabian Maldonado, another board-certified interventional pulmonologist who specifically brought the expertise of medical pleuroscopy, which is a procedure where, again, taking a scope, slightly different, but through one small hole about the size of your pinky finger to go in between the ribs, and while the patient is spontaneously breathing and with just local anesthetic, be able to look at the space around the lungs and look for any diseases in the chest, be able to take biopsies and actually do interventions for people, and then they go home the same day. And again, previously, that sort of thing would have required multiple times to come back to the hospital or back to the doctor's office to put a small needle in, drain the fluid, and then look for cancer or other diseases several times. And now we can do it in one time. And we can also avoid having to go in for what's called a video-assisted thoracic surgery, which is a more invasive procedure, but still not as invasive as some of that we've done in the past where people would have to stay in the hospital for 2 or 3 days. So to kind of sum those things up, the three main procedures, the three main diagnostic procedures that we've brought in have been the navigational bronchoscopy, the endobronchial ultrasound, and medical fluoroscopy.
So how do you connect to patients who might benefit from some of these procedures? I imagine that that includes people from Nashville as well as across Middle Tennessee and maybe even nationally.
So we're really lucky to be at a great place like Vanderbilt, and then also with the Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center, you know, the only NCCN recognized cancer center in Tennessee. And so because of that, we get a lot of patients that are referred in for lung cancer. And because of that, they're also needing additional testing, additional procedures for therapeutic reasons. So people will refer in, usually, you know, from the Nashville area, but all across Tennessee. Get a lot of people from Alabama and Kentucky. And then for some of our research trials that we may have going on in interventional pulmonology, then people may come from several states away or nationally. A lot of times what people are referred in from the furthest distance because they can't be taken care of with local means are people who have obstructed airways from cancer, and then we do a procedure called rigid bronchoscopy where we can relieve that obstruction that's causing the shortness of breath or coughing up blood from the cancer and place stents, use laser therapy to make the cancer go away in the bronchial tube and really improve people's quality of lives. And then, you know, a lot of times actually, you know, take somebody who was transferred in, you know, from another hospital by ambulance or by air, and then do this, and now they can breathe again, and so then they can go home. So that's one of the things that we do here that really is not done, except maybe in one other place in Tennessee.
I'm glad you mentioned lung cancer because I understand that we're doing some work at the forefront of lung cancer screening.
We've been doing research with Dr. Pierre Massillon for many years and myself looking at different methods for lung cancer screening. And about 2 years ago, in January of 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid approved national lung cancer screening as a covered benefit for people with Medicare. We were able to set that program up, and I think that it really will change how we're diagnosing lung cancer. So right now, lung cancer is, you know, it's the number one killer of men and women, cancer killer in the United States. The only thing that beats it is heart disease. It has no symptoms and presents late whenever it's not curable. And so lung cancer screening, the idea is that you detect these cancers with a CT scan before they become invasive or non-curable with a surgery. And then by doing that, you detect this early and you're able to avoid, you know, all the morbidity that goes along with that. So yes, we have, in collaboration with our radiology department, a lung cancer screening program that is up and running. We have a nurse practitioner that is in charge of running that, and we've had the infrastructure with a database to automate a bunch of that. So it's very easy for patients to get in and out of the screening program. We think that it's the way that it's run is very similar to how women get mammograms.
Vanderbilt Health.
So I'm speaking with Dr. Otis Rickman, who's an associate professor of medicine and thoracic surgery at Vanderbilt. He's also the director of the Interventional Pulmonology Program. Since becoming the founding director of the program in 2009, obviously you've seen it grow a lot. Where do you think it stands today in terms of the size of the program and the resources, and what have you achieved so far that you really hope to accomplish?
Initially, when we started, we were trying to establish a program that would benefit the patients in Middle Tennessee, and we did that. The next thing we wanted to do was become sort of a nationally prominent program. And so, I think over the past several years. Whenever people think about interventional pulmonology in the United States, they'll think about Vanderbilt. Both Dr. Maldonado is another interventional pulmonologist I mentioned earlier. We're both on the board of directors for the American Association of Bronchology and Interventional Pulmonology, which is the national certifying organization for interventional pulmonologists. We are both board certified in that, and we sit on the board of directors. We were also very instrumental in establishing training program guidelines for interventional pulmonologists. We both sat on the organizing committee that developed guidelines for all training programs in the United States. So I'm very proud of that fact. I'm also very proud that we've been able to not only advance clinical care, but now with education. So 2 years ago, we established a interventional pulmonology fellowship, and now we've had two fellows that have gone through that. We have been able to compete and get external grants for independent research. We have, in conjunction with the Department of Engineering, have two grants looking at basically robotic-assisted bronchoscopy, where we've developed with Dr. Robert Webster in the engineering lab and Dr. Maldonado, a steerable robot needle that we'll be able to use to even more efficiently biopsy these lung nodules. And then my ultimate desire would be able to not only biopsy the lung nodules, but after we get there and identify them, be able to ablate them. And by ablate, I mean cryotherapy, something, some sort of ablative therapy. That probably the first one we'll be using will be microwave. And then we're also have received a grant. Dr. Maldonado did an R01 grant for looking at a endoscopic robot that we're able to introduce down past the vocal cords and into the windpipe, and it significantly improves our ability to interact with the tumors in the airways and resect tumors with a lot finer control with our instruments than what we had in the past. We've also been able to work very closely with a lot of the tech industries and especially medical devices at getting the latest and greatest technology here and serve as consultants and advisors to those companies. And because of that, we have several ongoing clinical trials that look at things that are very exciting to us, like using a valve for to treat emphysema patients, and it's placed again via the bronchoscope. So it's a procedural treatment for emphysema with the hopes that it improves their dyspnea or shortness of breath and improves their quality of life. So that trial is currently closed to enrollment. We're analyzing the data. We were also a participant in some of the usability studies for another device for emphysema, which was a nitinol coil, which would clamp down and then cause a lung volume reduction. We've just finished a large trial looking at navigational bronchoscopy called the Navigate trial that is hopefully going to give us sort of a real-world use summary of how effective navigational bronchoscopy is for identifying lung nodules and doing a few other things. We have trials in pleural disease where we work with using different types of catheters to make fluid that collects around the lungs go away without people having to go into the hospital and have a surgery, to do it as an outpatient basis. We've been very active here. Probably one of our strongest and most well-known programs here is for a process called cryobiopsy in interstitial lung disease.
If a patient or a physician feels like they may benefit from one of these trials, what's the best way to find out?
So it's available on our websites. And so if you, the VUMC health website, most of the time that will be on our individual pages. There's also an interventional pulmonology page within the Department of Pulmonary Medicine here. And then, of course, any patient referrals or anything like that can be sent to us by calling 615-936-8422.
So looking forward, what most excites you about the field of interventional pulmonology, or where you see our program headed?
especially for lung nodules. I think we're going to be moving away from diagnosing lung nodules. Bright people like our own Dr. Pierre Massion, who's been working on blood tests to develop or to detect lung cancer. And so we won't have to go in and do biopsies anymore. And so what we're going to be moving into is we're going to be moving into treating these lung cancers more minimally invasive than having to do a big incision and remove it. And so that's going to be the robotic bronchoscopy and ablation of those lung nodules. And we've positioned ourselves here with the infrastructure and capital that whenever these technologies become available, either in a clinical trial form or immediately after the clinical trials have been done, we'll be able to offer those services to Vanderbilt patients.
And are there any research publications coming out of the program recently?
Yeah, I think probably one of the things that we've been most prolific with and most excited about would be our publications on the role of transbronchial cryobiopsy in interstitial lung disease. And so we're really excited about this technology, and we're able to go in and do a small biopsy take out a piece of tissue, have the pathologist look at it, and they're able to identify most of the types of scarring that is happening in people's lungs, and again, avoiding a surgical procedure about 1 in 5 times, what we think. So with the Vanderbilt Idiopathic Fibrosis Center, we've been able to do these biopsies. We've been able to study it. We've been able to perfect the technique. Dr. Maldonado and I are both sitting on a national guideline committee right now that is being sponsored by the CHEST organization, American College of Chest Physicians, to develop an expert guideline on best practices for this cryobiopsy interstitial lung disease. We've published several papers here recently on the efficacy and safety of that procedure.
Well, thanks again for talking with us today, Dr. Rickman. I think that transition that you're talking about from diagnostic technologies to really creating therapies, minimally invasive procedures in the field is really exciting.
Thank you very much, and delighted to be on the show.
Vanderbilt Health.